Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.
How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai. And you're listening to...
Quiet, please.
Sorry. Let the word go out from here across the land that Danny Noonan approved.
Hiya, boys. Nice day for golf, eh?
Quiet, please. Oh, you got secrets, eh?
Hey, this is Shooter McGavin. You're listening to the...
Hey, you guys. Hey, we're trying to have a podcast over here.
And welcome once again to Quiet, Please, the golf podcast. And we have got a lot to talk about with the panel this evening. We're talking Rory. Is he making swing changes in advance of Augusta? Speaking of Augusta, is it Scotty versus the field? We question whether or not world number ones recently going for three-peats. Live golfers are getting anxious. But we started off with cutting news. We're recording Wednesday night. JT and Bones. The panel has a number of things to talk about on this. Noted sports columnist, golf columnist, Jeff Babineau, joining us once again. Jeff, good to see you, man.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
And right in time for Augusta, our resident historian, Boston Bob Baldessari. Hello, Bobby.
Good to see your face again, AD. I miss Andy, Christian, and B.E. I've been on sabbatical. I've had travels and travails.
So hey, travels and travails happen, and you know what?
It's like a book. Good novel. But I'm doing a presentation at the Woodford Club soon, and I'm calling it Golf History, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, parenthetically, bad pants and ugly sweaters, or something like that.
Yeah, I probably got a few of those. Pickering hard collars.
Oh, yeah. Aureus. Back in the day.
So, Jeff, how fortunate. Thank you for joining us tonight, especially. I mean, we're talking the tour, and there's nobody that's maybe more dialed in than yourself. I was shocked today. JT took to social media announcing in a very polite but not too insightful, other than we had a great run. We're great friends. We remain great friends, but he and Bones part ways days before the first major of the year.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. I actually was at the Valspar. I'll guarantee you I had the last interview with JT because he shot 79 on Saturday and no one was there to talk to him on Sunday. And I was there and he finished with Bones. JT's mom was there. I mean, there was no parting the ways there. So I was kind of shocked at that today, especially going into the Masters, knowing Bones is a weapon at the Masters, right? He's a valuable guy to have on the bag there with his experience. I understand JT's frustration, right? And when you're frustrated, you're just grasping at whatever you can grasp at. And he's got a unique situation, as you know, with his dad as a coach. So he's just right now the mix isn't working. So you try to shake up what you can.
Collateral damage.
You know, I mean, he's not playing. He wasn't playing terrible. He missed the cut, but he was close at the players, and he played pretty well at Bay Hill. And you know, he was saying he had a bad putting. He had a really bad putting day Saturday at the Valspar. He had 38 putts, and he started to say, as he always will, these guys are like on a pull a string in their chest. You know, I'm rolling it well. And he stopped himself. He said, look, at some point when I say I'm rolling it well, they got to start going down. And then they weren't. So he wasn't totally frustrated like he's totally lost out there. But it's just not happening for him right now. And he's a guy that's used to being a top 10, top 5 contending guy.
Bobby, is he following in the footpath of the king of self-talk, Mr. Eldrick Tiger Woods?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I was. Yeah, we were texting, and Bab sent me that, and I thought, oh, I didn't even hear that. Been a busy day, but you know, I was going to ask you, Bab. You hit it going into the Augusta. That course is such a course knowledge type of place, mm-hmm.
And Bones has been through the majors with Phil, and it does seem like, you know, that's interesting timing. I can't remember when Jack and Angelo parted ways, and some of the big time, you know, names that, you know, it's a relationship thing out there. I guess you did two of you, you're walking for hours, communication. I was struck by the timing of that as well.
You know, what are you going to change, right? So
I go back to when Bones left the confines of On Course Reporter, and they asked him why, and he said, it's Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. I mean, they won a major pretty quickly. Actually, they won the PGA.
Maybe through the back door, but absolutely, they still won it.
Yeah. Oh, sure, man. Those trophies look nice in the house.
Who do you think JT goes with now? For is it temporary?
If Jimmy Johnson were healthy, I don't know. Jimmy had some foot issues, I think, and if he were healthy, he's another seasoned guy to put on the bag. Who knows? Whose nose is out there? It'll be pretty interesting.
Oh, I'm just getting a call now. JT, yeah. No, my shoulder's good.
John Wood.
Sure, I'll meet you down in Augusta. I'm going to be there. Okay. Yeah, hot off the press.
Bob, you got to fly in early, buddy.
Yeah. I better do some working out.
Wait a minute. That's why Brendan isn't on here tonight.
Oh, right.
Oh, see? It's all becoming clear, right?
Never see him and Bones in the same room together.
10% of 4 million spends nicely.
Yeah, did you see that other stat? I'm blanking on his name, but Scheffler's caddy. Holy cow.
Oh, Teddy Scott.
Yeah.
Teddy Scott was retired.
He's had a good financial. Yeah.
Yeah, he made $850 just here in Florida at the Bay Hill and the Players. He made $850,000 if you're going by the 10%. And he had stepped away, spending time with the family, and he didn't immediately jump when Scotty asked. I don't think Scotty had won by then. And now in 3 years, he's won 9 times. So they've had an incredible partnership. And it works. It helps when your guy's playing that well, obviously. But you say the right things at the right time, and you inspire your guy, and things can take off. So I think, you know, Scotty has a ton of – he leans on Teddy Scott a lot. And at a Masters, he leaned on him a lot when he won. And it's – but it can be a fickle relationship.
You know, Jeff, our last show, we were talking about the the rise of Wyndham Clark, right? He obviously catapulted up and wins the U.S. Open, and then he's had many good showings. But if you go back, even turn the clock back with Scheffler, immense talent, but it really manifested itself. They pick him for the Ryder Cup. Actually, some people questioning why they picked him for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And was that the vote of confidence? I mean, you're a guy that's out there a lot. Sure. Is that the confidence boost that he needed? I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it reminded me, it happened 1 year with Adam Scott, really had no business being on the international team at the President's Cup and was picked. And it seemed like, you know, just an old merit kind of, you know, a pick off of old times. And Scotty was different. Scotty was a chance. Stricker could take the chance because he had some veterans on that team. And I think that totally did a 180 with his confidence, or at least it was such a huge boost. And it also showed you how much Scotty loved the big stage. So it gave him confidence on a big stage, too. And he goes out and beats John Rahm in singles and drums him. And I think that was a huge boost. So little things like that can go a long way.
Hey, Babs, do you think, you know, sort of getting off script a little, Alan, but you know, the role of the caddy in golf these days at the tour level, even Korn Ferry level, looking back years ago, decades ago, that role has really been much more sophisticated. You've got really good players that, you know, unfortunately couldn't make it on tour, step into caddying. It's, you know, I mean, it's really evolved over the years.
Oh, big time. Yeah, there's some really good players on bags out there. And I think players appreciate that. They see shots. You know, JJ Jakovic, who was on Colin Morikawa's bag when he won the PGA. I'm, I think he's a D2 national champion. Paul Tesori was a good player at Florida. You go, Damon Green is the king of the mini tours here in Florida. That helps as a player. Your guy's telling you what to do. You want him to have some kind of clue of the moment and what you're trying to pull off. And Bones is a good player, and he's a seasoned caddy. He's highly respected out there. It's hard to earn a lot of respect out there, and Bones is respected by all. So, yeah, and it helps, when you're on the bag of Phil Mickelson for all those years, right? He's a guy that's going to make you a good caddy too. So it's just interesting to mix. And when it gets a little sour out there, you're looking for that small spark. And if JT's playing bad and he looks back over and Bones is there, like they've been for, however many months now, maybe just want to see something different.
Yeah, it's almost like in a micro way, changing the coach on the team or the swing coach or like a team sport.
I don't know. It'd be kind of like Kentucky feeling like they need to change their coach after this latest debacle.
I can report live from outside. There are people that want California
guys. Is that why you're hiding in a slightly darkened room so you can report, clandestine?
Another storm coming in. This is getting crazy.
There are pitchforks in the yard.
Yeah. Move locations here for
I'll tell you,
safety.
I'm telling you right now, by the way, just to divert away from golf, that basketball game with Oakland was maybe one of the best basketball games. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
that was great drama.
That was really good.
There's a great story. There's a really great writer in the Washington Post, Chuck Culpepper, and he went and sat down with the Oakland coach a couple of days after they lost NC State in overtime. I think it ran today, or it might have run today in the Washington Post. It's fantastic. This guy lies awake at night thinking he called the wrong play on the stretch, and it's been amazing. I love hopping into the hoops this time of year. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. Well, last week we touched on Scotty's dancing was dancing through March. He was doing his own March Madness. Does anybody here contend that it's Scotty versus the field next week at Augusta? Bobby?
You can make a good case for that. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonder what Vegas's odds are on that. Anybody want to hop online quick and check those?
Yeah. Scotty's like, it's like under 4-1, I think, to win, which is just crazy. Especially when you mix in all these live guys that he hasn't had to beat lately. That's just nuts. We used to, back when the only place you really could bet golf legally was the British Open. We would only bet Tiger if he was 5-1 or better odds, meaning higher odds, because you could bet him each way to finish in the top five and at least get your money back. So he won at Royal Lytham 1 year, I remember, at 6-1. And it was crazy. I mean, those were great odds. We hopped on him. But it's Scottie Scheffler's doing that type of stuff because his bad weeks are T2s and T4s.
It's amazing. I mean, just amazing. It's Tiger-esque. Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably it'll be interesting to see how the LIB golfers play. I'm really interested in seeing Cam Smith. I mean, I think he's such a good player, and I think he's obviously Rom, that's going to be a
Yeah.
big one.
Well, maybe to go back to Scheffler for a second. Obviously, he was dominating. I mean, he outpaced everybody at Bay Hill. He probably didn't even have his A game at Sawgrass, but still found a way. And then last week, he muddled along. He was still right there. Really wasn't, and he still finished his second. Actually, just missing the three-peat.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he lives there, right? I'm convinced that it was funny because I got really mad at reading this story. A younger kid wrote a story a few weeks back when Scotty was missing the putts and he had not played well, and he's obviously frustrated at LA at Riviera, and he said, "Well, maybe we've been talking around the office that maybe he's just not competitive enough," and I wanted to just tear my computer out of the sockets here because this kid competes like nobody. I'm convinced when he loses, as long as he's there till the end, He's fine with it just because he loves the pure competition.
Right.
And Rom is like that. Rom has a fire. I mean, Rom could get in his own way next week because he wants it that bad. And he thinks people are doubting him and this and that. So those two are two of the more fiery guys. I mean, this side of Tiger, honestly. And I just think Scotty loves being there. Win or lose on Sunday, he realizes sometimes it's going to happen and sometimes it won't. And as long as he keeps putting himself there, he's fine with it and he can move on to the next one.
Bobby is a great instructor. What if, I mean, with regards to his putting stroke, what changes has he made? Have you been following that or?
Not really, but you know, sometimes you get on a roll and you misread it, you miss hit it, it goes in. Other times you hit it pure, like a JT is going to say, it's not going to go in. Absolutely. Sometimes it's obviously mechanics. But I was going to sort of halfway jokingly say, Scotty should talk to Bill Presley and get a Mez putter in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
We'll try to get Bill on the show here.
You know, we talked to Lucas Glover at Valspar, and he was starting to play well again. And he talked about how the putting got him going last year. He won those two back to back. And his bag is Tommy Lamb, an older caddy that used to be on the bag at Jay Haas. And he says he remembers Jay saying, man, nothing will wear you out as a player than missing 12 footers all day long. And think how many of those Scotty looks at. I mean, that's the thing. You hit it so good, you're going to give yourself more chances than most. You're going to miss more than most. And it just could wear on you. And the way he's had to kind of hang in there and weather what we look at as some bad putting rounds, but he's certainly on the upswing with the putter. He kind of looks more athletic, if you ask me. Just kind of, you know, Faxon calls putting like playing a game of horse, and you don't think how you shoot a basketball. You just get up and try to make the hoop, and he kind of has a little bit of that going, I think.
I got to go on a little slight tangent and tell a funny story. So one of my first college events I ever played, and it was just like a try meet, and the kid I was playing against was a stick, hit 17 out of 18 greens, almost like feels like a Scotty, right? Couldn't get anything to drop. I clip him by one and I hit two. I chipped in. It's either chipped in twice or it was the most comical round in the world. This kid just looked at me every time I got it up and down, because that's why my nickname was Captain Scrape.
Did he snap the putter?
He did not snap the putter. He did not. No. Nope. But Bobby, you know, there is another rumor out there. Actually, it was confirmed. But the question is, has he made an official change? Rory went to Vegas to see Butch. What's your thoughts on that? Is he looking for that extra little something, or is it between the 6 inches when it comes to Augusta?
You know, it's funny. Like sometimes Babs coming to me for a golf lesson, I'm saying it's partly cloudy, partly cloudy, partly cloudy. It's not resonating. He goes to see Brennan. Brennan says partly sunny. Babs like, oh my God, that makes sense. Sometimes it's just communication. It's how you say it. And it's, sometimes it's not what you say. You know, I mean, a lot of times as an instructor, you want to say so much, but yet it's what you don't say. And these players are so good, and they know their swing to some degree. And obviously to a large degree, but if you think of the Michael Heberins, the Steve Yellens out there, that sometimes it's a mind thing. It's just, how do you have peace of mind? How do you get in the zone? How do you just relax and let it go and not overthink it? And, you know, sometimes it could be as simple as Carl Jackson telling Ben Crenshaw at the Masters in 90, what was it, Babs, 90, when he won that?
95, yeah.
Yeah, and just you put the ball in the back in your stance and, you know, get the shoulder turn going and bang, it clicks. But, I, you know, I guess I'm not overly surprised. I don't know, Babs, you can chime in, but I think the Rory major ticking time clock thing is probably really clicking loud.
Yeah. I just think there's a ton of pressure on him to win at Augusta, and he kind of gets in his own head. And the last thing he ought to do the week before going there is see a new swing guy, even if it's the best guy in the world, right? Which Butch probably is. But mostly Butch, I think, more than a swing coach, he fills these guys with confidence. So he might be more of a Rotella with Rory.
Yeah, I agree.
That could tick them across the line, they hope. But, I mean, I'm just convinced, look, the Masters and Augusta National is a place that can torture a guy. And I've always told people Rory will wear a green jacket one day, but I don't see it happening anytime real immediate. I mean, it's just that's how it plays out at that place. I mean, it tortured Norman. It tortured David Duval, who had 4 years when he could have won. It tortured Ernie Els. Nick Price didn't win there. It's not a given. If you're a great player, you're going to win there. And Rory knows he should win there, and that's part of the deal.
So he was also Rory was also in the news, or I should say across the lips of somebody. Brendel Chamblee came to his defense, if you will, about how actually – how did he word it? That Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, and I think he actually said JT. None of them stepped up while Rory was taking the brunt of the attack over the whole LIV Golf PGA Tour merger, not merger, separation, reunification. Jeff, what are you? That was just breaking recently. Do you agree with that statement that Rory was the man on the island?
I agree that Rory took on a lot. He became the front person for that whole thing. And then everything flipped on him, and he really was betrayed. I mean, I picture him at that press conference in Canada when it's announced that all of a sudden these groups are going to align. They've been toe-to-toe trying to take each other's head off. Now they're going to be partners in this futuristic endeavor. And Rory was really betrayed. I mean, I don't blame him for you can invest a lot of time in that, in the boardroom on a lot of that stuff. And I look right now at Patrick Cantlay. I mean, how much of a distraction is it for him? His game's nowhere. I do think Rory took on a lot with that stuff. I think it's probably a big relief that he's out of that place and able to work on his own game and think about it, because I think he fought hard for the tour and represented the tour as well as he could, and then everything flipped on him. So, in a way, I thought it was really unfair to him.
Bobby?
No, I agree with Babs. If you're in a team sport, it's one thing, and you could be the player rep and, you know, the player associations and things like that. But in golf, obviously, you're alone. I think I'm thinking of my daughter. She said, I'm a grandfather now. First time. I was like slipping
in. Congratulations on that, my friend.
Cheers, Tori. Grandpa.
Yeah. Cheers, Tori. Hey, Dahlia. I'll see you soon. But Rory, I can't believe I said that. So, Rory, I think he took on a lot. I think he wanted to take on a lot. And I think he was trying to feel like it could be Arnie and Jack and, you know, leading. One is, wants to be a leader, but that is a lot of pressure. Then you're out there playing alone. And I think for a little while it inspired him on the Canadian Open, and he had some really good finishes, but that's just got to wear on you.
You know the last time Rory won in the U.S.?
Wow, what a great question. Wow.
There's one in Scotland. He won a couple in Dubai.
I don't know.
Is this the Congressional?
He won Congressional? In the fall of 22, he won at Congaree when they played the CGA Cup in South Carolina. Fall of 22. And he looked unbeatable then. And that's the last time he's won in the States. So, been a little while.
I'm going to call you about when I'm at a bar and I need a good golf, you know, win a beer bet.
You can always win a beer if you're amongst Patriots fans and you ask them what college Ben Coates went to. And he's a great Patriot. No one ever knows what college he went to.
He was awesome. He was a force of nature.
I'll turn you loose on Google for that one.
So how do I segue off of that?
You're on Mayo.
Giants trivia.
Well, a force of nature at one time was Bryson DeChambeau. And Bryson is leading a chorus of voices right now, frustrated, globetrotting to the Asian tour, desperately looking for reunification. We got to come back because it's hurting the game of golf. What say you, Boston Bob?
I'm going to defer to Mr. Babs because he's...
Yeah, well, I will say he's right when he says it's hurting the game of golf. I mean, there's You guys are immersed in the game, right? Day to day. Isn't it going well where you are? It's, don't you see more golfers? The tee sheets are filled, the memberships are waiting lists.
37 million NGF, 37
Right.
million golfers, 37 million and two with Bobby's grandchild and my
Oh,
grandchild, but we're growing the
nice.
game organically. So
Snoopy
just
style.
saying.
There you go. But I go around the corner here. I have a teed up driving range. They put in a top tracer. It is, there's a waiting line that you can stand there with a bucket of balls with all these bays in your wait to be able to hit. And everything's great in golf except for the top level. And there's chaos and there's division. And it makes no sense. And I can see why would you, if you're on the PGA Tour, why would you just say, yeah, come on back. Yeah, you're right. Come on back, Bryce. And we know you got 150 million, you know, and I know DJ, I mean, DJ, I don't. The thing is, Doug Ferguson is a great AP writer. He went out to the LIV event in Vegas. And it's funny because everyone's making the case that you're saying, Alan, you know, oh, we got to get these guys back. They got to play the tour. There aren't many guys out there screaming to come back. And they're not hating life.
I need to prefer. I did not make in that case. I actually see you, because our good friend Andy Heidorn is, it's the venues and next man up, and there's people that are stepping up and being shown now on the PGA Tour that may not have gotten that opportunity. I miss about five players from LIV.
Yeah, I do too. I miss some personalities. I miss seeing GMAC and shooting the, you know, stuff with him. And I always found Bryson interesting. I covered him when he won the amateur. Those guys, Koepka, I love watching how hard-nosed a competitive that guy is. DJ, doesn't matter if he was playing the member guest or the Masters next week. He's gonna show up and tee it up.
Bobby, I made the statement last show that the golf fan has been cheated from the possible greatness of these players.
True.
Brooks has got a lot of hardware, but what about Cam? What about John? What these players, did they are they going to ever achieve? They'll still be able to compete in the majors, maybe, maybe not. But is the golf fan been cheated? Has their greatness been cheated because of this decision?
Yeah, I look at it as, would we be talking about Julius Erving, Dr. J, if the ABA kept going? Would we be talking about Wayne Gretzky if the WHA went going? You know, you can, you know, the leagues that were out there, the AFL, to get everybody together, absolutely agree. That'll unify things as far as really historical in the history books. The players now, yeah, we miss the best players playing against each other. It's interesting though, the business of golf versus recreational golf. Alan, you're at a club and you guys are killing it. My club, the Woodford Club in Kentucky, it's never been so busy. The recreational golfers, the growth of the game, all that, it's very, very strong. The professional side, that high upper echelon, mass chaos, it's a cluster blank. I hope it gets fixed, but you know, I sit there and wonder because you look at those other leagues and some of the great players in those. You go all the way back to the Negro League, Satchel Paige. If those players were so great, and they were playing around great players, but until they got to the major leagues, until they got that unification, I think that set them into the history books.
Well, but
Yeah,
fortunately, LIV is growing the game, right, Jeff?
immensely. In Miami this week. You guys both mentioned his name in passing here, and where this guy should be historically, this guy should be or should have become a great Masters player, right? He's one of the great putters in the game. Cam Smith, who I love to watch play, right? And he's perfect for Augusta. He can drive it a little errantly and he can make it up with the putter. Great short game. I barely know that the guy plays golf anymore. I really don't. And you know, it struck me in Tampa when if you guys watched Peter Malnati's presser after he won, and he gave an ode to the little tournament, right? He's in tears, and he's in tears because he's been out there for 9 years trying to get that second win. I haven't seen a LIV guy really move to genuine tear because you can't define outside of the dollars. I just have trouble telling anybody what it means. For Joaquin Neiman to win twice in a row out there. I know there's good players out there. I get it. And they're playing some good tracks, I guess, but what does it mean? I just don't It's hard to explain.
Well, again, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Andy. I mean, but venue, it's the venues and it's the events. I mean, they're playing in Miami. They're playing some of these golf courses that are, they're good golf clubs, but people don't know them. You know, they're going to be, I don't even know if Bedminster's on the list again this year, but I mean, they were giving away free tickets last year to Bedminster and still couldn't give them away.
I look, when I first started covering Doral, like in the mid early 90s, Seve would be there. It was a party.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Then the tour took it over and it became a World Golf Championships event. And so the field got cut in half, and you might not have a Camilo Villegas, who everyone there wanted to see, who would be the modern day Seve and stuff like that. And it just took the atmosphere right out of it. And now, you know, they're trying to rekindle a party there, but you have 54-hole shotgun event, and first tee shot goes off and you're done in 4 hours and 10 minutes.
Before we get back to Augusta, I'd be remiss if I don't get this one in. A world number one going for a three-peat. And it wasn't Scottie Scheffler, Bobby. Nelly Korda at the Ford Championship last week, fires a little 65. This week going for rare air. I think it's going to be the first four-time potential champion in like decades. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but you have the trivia. But
I remember Nancy Lopez ran up.
Nelly Korda's back to playing like the world number one that she was before her injury.
She's playing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a similar path to Scotty in that she teed a green, heads above the rest, right? And then with the putter, hot or cold, and here's how your week's going to go. Am I going to win or am I going to tie for eighth? And it probably isn't going to be a whole lot worse than that.
Right. Agreed. So I wanted to save this last section because, Bob, this was all you. Drive, chip, and putt. This is a special time coming up for these kids, the Augusta Women's. These are some special events. What's it mean for these kids to be going down to Augusta leading up to the Masters?
I was there for 6-7 years helping to run that event nationally for the PGA. It's probably one of the neatest things I've ever been involved with. It feels good to be a little bit of like a legacy of golf. And in that regard, you know, the 7 and 8, 9, 10-year-olds, I don't think they get it. I've driven down in the van with the families down Magnolia Lane at 6 in the morning, and the parents get tears in their eyes. They're choking up. The kids are just looking around going, where are we having breakfast? But some of the 10, 12, 13, 14, obviously, they get the gravity of it. I've said the story many times. I was standing next to Billy Horschel at the caddy building the one morning, and he's looking out there, and, you know, my daughter, Tori, now we're bringing Tori in again. She was at UF, and I said, hey, go Gators. And he goes, hey, go Gators. And he looks at me, and he goes, I could not even take the club back. I would be peeing my pants if I was that age here at Augusta. So those kids are really remarkable. The parents, I mean, it's a thrill of a lifetime. The regionals actually are really, really tense. That regional, I've been part of that, where you talk about the emotions overflowing at these 10 regionals around the country. When you get there, it is like, God, we made it. I mean, the stories, I could bore you for hours and hours. I was out there trying to find really good human interest stories for Golf Channel. We did a lot of really, really good reporting. Some of the kids out there and the parents, I mean, the stories are unbelievable. And it was neat now. Alexa Pano, obviously 3 times at the national final. She was at the women's amateur before she went in the LPGA. She wins. So, I mean, we when we were there that first year, we thought, who are the kids each year that would end up being on the tour? And the good thing is, hey, the AJGA is the most amazing organization out there. A lot of these kids could never play in an AJGA event, but they, in a skills competition, 3 drives, 3 chips, 3 putts, they could make it to Augusta National and have lifelong memories.
I mean, honestly, the phrase grow the game is thrown out so much, right? Live tour is the game.
Yeah.
Like throwing the game at Doral this week. I mean, you think about that, where a kid, where you can watch as a kid on ESPN, I guess, and you watch a kid your age, if you're 8 years old, step up on national TV to hit a drive, which is fun, or hit a chip or a putt. That a kid is going to say, I'd like to try that. I'll try that. Who knows? Maybe they never get beyond the range. Maybe they turn into great players like Alex Pano, right? My son has a little girl at his club that's going to Augusta. She shows up every day. She's about eight. Shows up with her track man, you know, under the arm and starts talking spin out there. And holy smokes. But that is a Grow the Game initiative that can work. And it is working. I really think you see some traction.
I was in Alaska 1 year, and there was a young boy. We called him Quitch. None of us can pronounce his name properly. Only the Eskimo tribe, which was 4 hours north of Anchorage, can pronounce his name correctly. He watched drive, chip, and putt early on, and he went outside and was hitting rocks with sticks. You know, those are the stories that were remarkable. That the golf, I couldn't wait to call Christy at the Golf Channel. Just, you know, if you know Christy, and I got the most amazing story. The young boy that was in the Carolinas that was putting on his braces to hit the drive. I'm going to get emotional talking about it. It's amazing. I mean, just these kids out there that, you know, you can't, they're never going to play on the tour, you know, but they could play at Augusta. It's crazy. Yeah.
Pretty cool. And Augusta National being the pillar, the most recognizable club probably in the game, took that next step with the Augusta Women's.
Yeah.
Great field this year. Rose Zhang is no longer there. Pretty much an open field, I would think, for this year's champion.
I think there's 9 girls either attending or committed to Stanford. So someone does some recruiting at that place. but yeah, same thing. Playing Augusta National, what a thrill. A lot of women pros on the LPGA have never had that thrill. And here are some amateur players. There's teenage, you know, we had a 16-year-old win a couple years ago. She's playing well today as they started again. Just amazing. Good stories, right? I mean, golf needs stories, good stories. Inspire others, and people are going to look at that stuff and say, hey, man, I want to give that a go.
There's 2 young ladies from the University of Kentucky golf team, ladies team, that'll be there. No, the reports that John Calipari teaches them are, don't believe that.
Bob's such a homer. Kentucky drawl I hear now.
It's like 10 minutes from the club.
We've dubbed him now Bourbon Bob.
Bourbon Bob.
Cheers.
All right, Bobby. 18th green. You're walking up to 18. Not yet at Augusta, but what's your final thoughts, sir?
Yeah, when you walk up 18, when you stand on the green, you realize how narrow it is. You don't realize on TV how narrow it is. You don't realize 10 is a ski slope coming down and 18 is about the same coming up. But, yeah, I'll be back at Augusta National this weekend for the drive, chip, and putt. It'll be the 10th anniversary of the kids on site, 11th year actually, but last year for COVID. So we got a little ceremony and some things. So it's going to be pretty special. But it's neat to be back up north, to go through a spring, to see one day that's 68 and sunny and you feel giddy. The next day it's 42 and cloudy and rainy. But there's something really special about spring golf, getting back on the course, seeing the people back out there talking golf. I miss that, you know, growing up in New England. Some days it's snowing, but you're trying to play through the snow. And it's just really, really neat to be back up for a whole spring season, Babs, like we did back in, well, you were down the Cape, so the weather's better in the Cape than the North Shore.
We liked it because the ponds froze at a club and you could drive it across.
Jeff, what do you got? Final thought.
I think, you know, we're going to get to Augusta and fans will be reminded that they're getting cheated, I think, because you're going to get reminded how great the top of the pyramid of this sport is. We're going to have these guys we don't get to see now all the time, DeChambeau and Koepka and DJ and now John Rahm and Cam Smith. They're going to join in with the stars on the PGA Tour. We're going to be reminded how good it is when all these guys are firing together. And you know, I, they'll, they just hopefully will be inspired in seeing that to figure out some kind of amicable solution to end all this chaos, right? And get us back. And the one thing that'll be real refreshing to me at Augusta is that they'll play for a lot of things there. And you don't hear about the money they play for. You hear about, hey, I'm now in a Tuesday night dinner for the rest of my life. And I'm in this place for life. And, you know, I'm in the club and I joined these greats in history. And I'm playing for a piece of history, not just zeros on a bank account. And that means a lot. We should have more of that. I think as fans, we deserve more of that.
Without questions, and we deserve a Masters without an asterisk. Mine's going to take a little different direction. Recently, Charlie Woods competed in his first AJGA event, shoots plus 21, ties for 32nd behind the eventual winner. It's minus 7. And if I saw the wrath that was online and the hideous keyboard warriors about this kid, let the kid be a kid and let him develop as he is. He's got big enough shoes to try to follow in. Lay off Charlie. Plain and simple. Agreed. That's all I got to say.
Plain and simple.
Jeff, thanks for coming on. Bobby, always a pleasure. We will catch you next week, folks.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.